This message comes from NPR sponsor, the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited 2x miles on every purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
I don't know about you all, but I really needed music this past week. You've had that, right?
Yeah.
We're like, music comes to the rescue.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is a surprisingly good batch of picks. I expected Brittany to pick good songs. I did not expect Robin to pick good songs.
And that's Brittany Luce, host of NPR's It's Been a Minute. Hey, Brittany.
Hi, Robin. Thank you for having me.
Our very special guest this week, along with Stephen Thompson. So, Brittany, you cover all kinds of stuff on It's Been a Minute, but music's definitely a big part of that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, one of the things that has been really fun about the show is trying to figure out how to use sound or talk about music in ways that are exciting or fresh or feel fun.
Yeah, we don't do any of that. I mean, that sounds really interesting.
We try to actually tamp down the appeal of music.
I'm always interrupting Stephen during these tapings and saying, I don't know if you meant to do this, Stephen, but what you just said was actually interesting. So, yeah, like maybe, yeah.
Scale. Can you just take out a few adverbs? try to paint fewer pictures with words.
Well, Brittany, because I know you're such a music lover, I thought we got to get you on the show. And, you know, we like to get together and hang out like this every other week or so just to sort of check in and take stock of the songs that could wind up on our best of the year list, you know, or at least we love them so much that we could say they're in the running for being on our best of the year lists. And we all brought some stuff that we're going to share, but I want to start with one of your picks. Brittany, what do you got for us?
Okay, my very first pick is a song called Feminine by an artist named Empress Of.
Quiero nombre femenino, un latine que baila pa' mí y solo pa' mí. Me cocine, me desfile, me lleve al cine. Lo quiero pa' mí y solo pa' mí. No te necesito a ti, ni tú a mí. Tú y yo somos iguales. Para de pedigrí, give me a treat. Te vas a perder los modelos modales. Free, me, estoy loca en este party. Dream, scream, sabes que yo soy tu daddy. Quiero un nombre femenino, un latine que baila pa' mí y solo pa' mí. Me cocine, me desfile, me lleve al cine. Lo quiero pa' mí y solo pa' mí. Na 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 na. Yo encima pongo mi mano en tu cuello. Dices que eres un freak. Muéstrame si hoy quiero ser tu vaquero, tu vaquero. Estoy loca en este party. Dream, scream. Sabes que yo soy tu daddy. Quiero un nombre femenine, un latine que baila pa' mí y solo pa' mí. Me cocine, me desfile, me lleve al cine. Lo quiero pa' mí y solo pa' mí.
My husband likes to joke that I despise any song that is below 120 BPM,
which is not true. Watch out, and like, I'm sorry, it's a hard pass. Yeah, it's
exactly. Not true. But I do. I love a nice upbeat pop song. It has like a nice house edge to it, without like sliding into what I have heard a little bit of. I think post-Renaissance is like this sort of like, oh, house is having a moment, let me hop on. It doesn't sound like it's a copycat of anything or like it's trying to be something that it's not. It's really upbeat, it's really fun, but also I love the lyrics. I, full disclosure, I have been taking Spanish classes for like the past few months with a tutor every week. And so my Spanish is drastically improving, and there's enough repetition in this song that I'm like, I understand what's going on. But which is actually kind of a change for Empress Of, because she doesn't actually, she for many years didn't sing necessarily in Spanish. It's something she's incorporated into her music in the past couple of years. But the lyrics of the song play with gender in a way that's really, really fun. Gender and romance in a way that's really, really fun. The song is basically about her wanting a submissive man. And I think that like there are two meanings here. Obviously, there is a sexual one that you can hear in the rest of the lyrics. But I think to me, why I really enjoy it is because it's like a fun inversion of some of the language that's in a lot of dating debates today that are happening in just about every language, where men are still somehow in 2024 out and out trying to find a submissive woman who's going to, you know, cook, clean, do all of these things for them. I like that she uses language talking about submission, like she's looking for a submissive man, or that she's his daddy, or she wants to be your cowboy. But then also has lines in there about wanting to be an equal. It's like she is imagining a relationship where gender is fun as opposed to being prescriptive. Mm-hmm. Like there is joy to be found in like being yourself, but also playing with the other. But it's not really so much about rigid roles. It's about like enjoying all of the different qualities that two people can see in each other and want to emulate or play off of.
Yeah, this song has so much joy and verve. I love the way her arrangements feel like really big and lavish and glammy, but there's also a certain amount of restraint to it. A lot of air in these mixes that really shines through. And the fact that she's working, like there's another track on this record called What's Love that features Muna, and you know, one of my favorite bands of the last bunch of years. And you just get a sense she's working with the right people. She's covering topics and themes that really resonate. And she's doing it with just irrepressible energy. That song is a great way to kick off the show. The song makes me very excited about warmer weather, which is a little bit of a theme that will emerge with a couple of the songs that we're talking about today. I love this pick and love this song.
Don't you think there's a little bit of a thread of, I don't want to say melancholy, but I mean, like, there's straight up party time disco dance floor music, right? And then there's this. I don't know. There's just like their shadows kind of hanging over everything, if that makes sense.
Oh, I could see that. I think even that that kind of like repetitive, da-da-da-da-da-da, like something about that feels ghastly a little bit in a way. I could definitely see that. And I think that one of the things that it taps into that feels attached to that melancholy quality that you're talking about is just like desire, want. I think that like desire is exciting because it can be propellant, it can be attractive, it can be like magnetic, but also desire means that you're lacking something that you want. And I feel like maybe that's where some of that melancholia is coming in.
Well, and a lot of dance music is like comedy. It may be designed for joy, but it's best when it makes you cry a little bit. That theme runs through a lot of dance music. A lot of dance music is melancholy at its core.
Have you ever noticed how many comedians do horror movies? Or just like in really intense dramas or something like that?
I always say comedians are better suited to drama than dramatic actors are to comedy, because comedy is harder.
So Empress Of, the album is called For Your Consideration. Great pick. That's out March 22nd. The full album is out March 22nd. Steven, what do you got?
Well, I've got a singer-songwriter I've been following for a few years now named Rosie Tucker. Their new album is called Utopia Now. And just check out this absolute firecracker of a song. I'm not even going to quote the opening line because their vocal is so clear that I don't even have to like parse it for you. You'll just hang on their every word. This song is called All My Exes Live in Vortexes.
I hope no one had to piss in a bottle.
You know, something really interesting about this song, the title never comes up in it. It's not in the chorus.
The title is just a bonus piece of wordplay.
It is exactly
what that is. They couldn't quit all the word the wordplay into one song, so they had to add it to a title.
And I have to say, I've thought about it a lot, and I'm not entirely sure what it means, all my exes live in vortexes. It's a great turn of phrase, but it kind of leaves me scratching my head. I don't know what you all thought.
It's a play on, there's a country song called All My Exes Live in Texas by George Strait, which is a phenomenal song.
Yeah.
And so I think it's just a riff on a classic country song where they just like thought of a funny line and just made it the title. But I am certainly willing to entertain the idea that there is deeper meaning just because this is exactly the type of songwriter who will invest everything they write with deeper layers of meaning.
One of the things I wrote down when I was listening to this was high key lighting. Like it just felt so like bright, very pop punk, which is like a musical era that I grew up like smack in the middle of. And it reminded me of that, but the lyricism was so sharp. It was so sharp. I love the way they like hope that nobody has to like, you know, urinate in a bottle, like at like whatever package warehouse, like the thing is that they ordered from the internet. But that plays so nicely against this accusation, to their partner that they want everything all at once. And it's like, I don't know, it kind of grounds their partner's like all consuming desire and what sounds like a lack of patience and disconnect from reality. They kind of ground it in the moment that we're in now, in the world that we live in now.
Well, that's what's so great about this song. And it's the markings of a great song, I guess, is that you can just jam to this. It just, cause it rocks so hard and it's so good. But it invites so much consideration every time you listen to it because there's just so much going on. A song essentially all about how basically everything you have in your life, someone has probably suffered for you to have it, right? I mean, mm-hmm. I think about this, my pen, my coffee mug, whatever it is, forget about your phone or your computer or any of that other stuff, the clothes you're wearing and how this suffering in a way kind of connects the entire world, you know? Actually, Stephen, when I was listening to this, I thought of an Onion headline from an op-ed piece from years ago. And the headline is, "You learn something new and depressing every day." And I actually thought, because I know you worked there, and I think this was long enough ago that you were there, I thought, that sounds like a op-ed piece that Stephen would write. And I don't know if you did
it was
that.
Definitely not me. I could name half a dozen writers that could have come from. That feels like a Todd Hansen, but it could be a John Cruson, a Joe Garden, a Carol Kolb. I could list people who may have written that headline.
It has this great quote. "I guess it just goes to show you, no matter how much you think you know, there's always more bleak facts out there waiting for you to discover them." great pick. Rosie Tucker, "All My Exes Live in Vortexes," from Utopia Now. All right, we need to take a quick break, but we will be back with more music right after this.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Lagunitas Brewing Company. Since 1993, Lagunitas has been challenging the status quo, brewing innovative beer, and crafting stories along the way. Featuring a wide range of craft brews, cult classics, and non-alcoholic options, there's a seat at the bar for everyone. Bring the dog, too. Lagunitas Brewing Company. Because every great song deserves a great beer. It's good to have friends. Learn more at Lagunitas.com. This message comes from NPR sponsor, the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited 2x miles on every purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
This message is brought to you by NPR sponsor Progressive Insurance. You call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. Tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options within your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Big news stories don't always break on your schedule. But with the NPR app, news, culture, and podcasts are ready when you want them. In your pocket. Download the NPR app today.
So I want to play this new song from Patrick Watson. Well, actually, it's a cover song that he did. Patrick Watson is a multi-instrumentalist, a singer and a songwriter. He's been putting out music for, I think, more than 20 years now. But I first really fell in love with his work back in 2009 when he put this album out called Wooden Arms.
Such a good record.
It is so good and so beautiful and delicate. All his music has this sort of intricate workings. And there's always just a sense of magic and surrealism in his music. He just released a new single that is a cover of the Lou Reed song, Perfect Day. It's just a solo piano version, but it is so gorgeous.
Thank you.
So Patrick Watson recorded this for the Wim Wenders film Perfect Days. The film, I guess, debuted almost a year ago at the Cannes Film Festival, but it just came out in the U.S. Just in February. And I haven't seen it, but it's set in Tokyo, and it tells the story of this guy who cleans public toilets for a living. So the full title for this cover by Patrick Watson is Perfect Day, Komorebi version, and Komorebi in Japanese. Well, we don't have a word for it in English, but it means sunlight shining through the leaves, and more specifically, the way sunlight glitters and sort of dances when it shines through the leaves. And that just feels perfect for this take.
Yeah, I actually, the arrangement for this that Patrick Watson did is so contemplative and so beautiful. I actually did not recognize it as the Lou Reed song immediately. I was listening to it with my husband, and he was like, "Oh, I know this song." I was like, "How do you know this song?" And then he was like, "Yeah, you know, Lou Reed song, Perfect Day." And I was like, "I don't hear that here." But it was like he found, through command of his instrument, a completely new way of thinking about the song and experiencing it. Really, like, it just really took it to a whole other place. It didn't feel like it was necessarily like a pop callback. It didn't feel like it was one of those, what is that show called? Bridgerton covers? You know, where they you know what I mean? Well, they'll take like a popular song and kind of like instrumentalize it with like orchestra instruments and things like that. It had this very, almost like a soulful, to borrow a word from you earlier, Robin, melancholy, but sweetly melancholy.
Well, again, I haven't seen the film, but from what I understand, you know, there's this character, he cleans toilets for a living, and you think, you know, wow, that just sounds like, you know, a really hard life. But he finds joy in all these other ways. He's a, you know, he's a voracious reader, and he loves music. And so he finds joy in all these other things. And I think that's one of the things that Patrick Watson does so well with this song, is that there is that thread of melancholy in it. But it's so beautiful. And I think it ends up sort of being a statement on how life can be sad and hard, but you can still find joy in these small things.
Yeah, it had a bittersweet quality to it, I suppose, that I would say. And the other thing I'll say that he also did with this interpretation is it didn't feel to me like it was attempting to recapture or imitate the vocals of the original song. I felt like he found a completely new interpretation that like used Lou Reed's version as a jumping off point, as opposed to trying to hew so closely to it that it would be immediately recognizable. Maybe it was immediately recognizable to everybody else, but it took me a few seconds.
I feel like that was a shot fired at your husband, not us.
Perhaps.
Maybe everybody thinks, maybe Mr. Know-It-All. I'm so excited to hear him extending himself more into TV and film I'm making up a word, composerly quality to his songwriting. His songwriting so naturally lends itself to film and TV and to scoring. I really hope and expect to be talking about him in future years when we talk about who's nominated for an Oscar for Best Original Score. You know, I think he was just made to kind of travel between the pop music world, the indie rock world, and the film and TV scoring world.
So again, that's Patrick Watson, his cover of the Lou Reed song, Perfect Day, and it is in the film Perfect Days, the Wim Wenders film. Brittany, why don't you bring us back up?
Okay, all right. My next pick is a song called Boyfriend by a singer from the UK named Summer Bonton.
Say you can't buy love. I bought a new shape 4x4. He don't talk too much, but then he takes me far. Put my foot down on these sweet sounds. Everything a girl could want. Ain't nothing like the mother women who be catching feelings and never see the light of day. Forget about the friends they made. Ain't nothing like the mother women who set the heat in. Attention seeking every day. There's gotta be another way. Boyfriend, you wish that I needed a boyfriend.
never go on brand, only with consistency. So I choose my peace, my bag, and my booze. Never give me a good reason to give up that love and attention to you.
Ain't nothing like the mother women who be catching feelings and never see the light of day. Forget about the friends they made. Ain't nothing like the mother women who set the heating, attention seeking every day. There's gotta be another way. No, no, no. Boy, friend, you wish that I needed a
This is like the most perfect windows down slow jam.
Right? I know. I feel like it's come at the right time of year.
Seriously.
Like I love this song because it is like good old fashioned R&B. I love R&B across the board. I love alternative R&B, of course. But I feel like there's a very vibesy kind of sound that has become the dominant sound. Mm-hmm. And I really like the fact that, of course, it's got like a great singable hook and it's like the production is really smooth. But I also just, I love the playfulness of the lyrics. It feels so right for like spring fever. Like,
yeah.
I feel like it's about being like young, wild, and free. Like, she's not looking for a boyfriend, but she knows that you wish that she was. And I mean, oh my God, I wish that I was like that more in my early 20s. I was probably crying over somebody at this time of year. But I think it is, I think it's like a perfect spring fever jump off track.
Yeah, boy, for somebody who was in his late 20s in the year 2000, this manages to not only make me pine for warm weather and windows down and screaming down the highway, mm-hmm. but it also is a little reminder of what it was like to be in my late 20s. It's got nostalgia for my particular youth coming through in the form of like Alicia Keys and Lauryn mm-hmm. Hill and so many of these like kind of that vintage R&B. It's got that feel to it in ways that still feel current. Also, just fun, like trivia fun fact, Buju Banton is her uncle.
Oh my gosh. Wait, Buju Banton is her uncle?
Yeah.
What? Okay, that's so funny because when I'm thinking like how to spell her name, I'm like, oh, Banton, like Buju Banton.
Yeah, right.
That is wild.
Well, she's new to me. And not only is she new to me, I had a hard time finding anything out about her. And as I was poking around trying to find, you know, a profile or wiki page, something, anything, I thought, how is she not super huge? Like, how right. does everyone not know her already?
Yes, there's another song that she released last year called Be My Guest. It came out in the fall. That's like, it also has kind of a throwback R&B song, but in a totally different way. It reminds me of like a playoff of like maybe a late 90s, early 2000s Destiny's Child. Not like their last album together, but maybe like their second, like around Survivor era.
So Summer Banton, the song is Boyfriend, a single that's out now. Have you heard anything about maybe an album or anything like that coming? Do you know anything?
I don't know anything. It seems like she is at the moment releasing singles, but I think she might be a little earlier in her career. I'm hoping there's going to be a lot more coming soon.
So we need to take another short break, but we'll be right back.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Progressive Insurance, where drivers who switch could save hundreds on car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. This message comes from NPR sponsor BritBox. Discover powerful new series like Three Little Birds and BAFTA-winning drama Time, starring Bella Ramsey, Tamara Lawrence, and Jodie Whittaker. Stream the best of British TV only on BritBox. Start a free trial at BritBox.com.
It's All Songs Considered from NPR Music. I'm Robin Hilton. I'm here with Stephen Thompson and Brittany Luce, host of NPR's It's Been a Minute. And we're talking about the latest batch of songs that could wind up on our best of the year lists. So, Stephen, what else do you got for us?
Well, I have someone who has become one of my favorite singer-songwriters, a fantastic new album and single from the singer-songwriter Matty Diaz. Matty Diaz has been floating around for ages. She's, you know, put out a bunch of her own records, which are terrific and kind of keep ascending in quality as she goes along. She's also written music for other people. She's written songs for people like Kesha. She put out a record in 2021 called History of a Feeling that was one of my very, very favorite albums of that year. And she's back with a new one called Weird Faith that is similarly wonderful. This track, again, like Rosie Tucker, I think you'll find yourself hanging on her every word. This song is called God Person.
Back row of the room, I show up alone. I come here to watch other people know what I can only guess at, 'cause I'm never sure, and I don't like commitment if there's something more. They sing their songs closing their eyes, seeing the light in a different light. How does that happen? Why is it beautiful? Why is it magic and tragic? I don't know. I'm not a God person, but I'm never not searching. Looking at the sky, staring at the ocean. If there's something to know, then I wanna know. Talking to my dad, talking about my mom. After 20 years, what the hell went wrong? And how can I avoid making the same choices and stay on the Carolina coast, living in the moment? We saw a storm 3 miles away. We lit a fire and watched it rage. How can that happen? Why is it beautiful? Why is it magic and tragic? I don't know. I'm not a God person, but I'm never not searching. Looking at the sky, staring at the ocean. If there's something to know, then I wanna know it. I wanna hold it. I wanna feel it. And maybe I can't say that I'm not.
Stephen.
Oh my God.
This song, man.
It's incredibly beautiful.
She is at the height of her powers. Yet every time she puts out a new record, it's somehow scales to something higher. I think she is such a phenomenal talent who is writing songs that feel so lived in. This album that she put out in 2021, History of a Feeling, is about the aftermath of a breakup. And it's just one of the most, it's coming at it from every angle in a way that feels really mature in the best way. And this record is about the aftermath of the aftermath of a breakup and about trying new love and trying new things and the album's called Weird Faith. And it's about how weird it feels to take romantic risks and take risks with your life in ways that can pay off in incredible ways or blow up in your face spectacularly. Hmm. And there's such a seeking quality to this songwriting that really comes through in that song. I'm mesmerized by it. She's such a wonderful talent. Everybody should know her. I love the fact that Harry Styles handpicked her to open on one of his tours and like play with, like, but like Harry Styles, like anybody else, here's this, it's undeniable. Like, yeah, come play these devastatingly beautiful songs as the opening act for Harry Styles. Why not? It's great music.
You know, we did a show at the end of last year called The Songs That Hit You the Hardest in 2023. Basically, the, you know, songs that you were obsessed with and probably ugly cried to and played over and over again, just crying over and over again. I think this song may be the first one of 2024 to do that for me. I listened to it, was immediately locked in, and within, you know, probably 30 seconds was starting to get teary-eyed. And then, you know, she mentions her parents, and it just absolutely devastated me. And I hit back the back button, hit play again, and just did it. And it sobbed all over again listening to it. It's just floored me.
This week for my show, I've been reading a book, an upcoming novel that is very, very much about faith, specifically about the desire to believe in something. Mm. And so this song came at like the right time, like the perfect time. Like the main character in the book I was reading was really trying to look for something, whether it was in politics, in religion, in a relationship that he could believe in. And that was one of the things that really came through in this song. I mean, obviously the lyrics are incredible. They're incredible and beautifully ambivalent. Mm-hmm.
When you say ambivalent, did you feel like she doesn't care?
Not so much that she doesn't care, but more like maybe she's currently at peace with the not knowing.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
with
yeah.
Not being
letting
certain.
Go.
Yeah, 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 letting go. Yeah. I feel like, I felt like that's what I mean when I say ambivalent. Like she was not comfortable, but at peace with not being absolutely certain. About anything.
There's this great moment towards the end where all of the effects on her voice and in the song disappear completely, all the reverb or delay, everything, and her voice, everything's just sort of exposed.
I'm not a God person. I'm looking behind every curtain, and I see the sky, and I see the ocean, where it all came from and where it's all going.
It's sort of like she's been daydreaming and musing about all these things, and then she's suddenly yanked into reality.
Yeah.
And all of these big ideas that maybe even seem wondrous at times, you know, like at the end of it all, we're flesh and bone and we're fragile and, you know, we're all living through these very real, tangible things. Does that make sense? Do you know what I mean? Like,
absolutely. Yeah. I think that's the desired effect, is it's pulling you back to life. I mean, she is somebody who clearly is very self-aware and knows she's on a journey. Mm. And these are songs about knowing you're on a journey and knowing that you haven't reached your destination. And so she's able to kind of reflect on her life as she's moving through it in ways that really struck me.
Great pick, Stephen. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
I'm going to completely bring it back up with a band called Freako.
Oh, but this is a great pick too, man.
Such
this
a good
really good
Freako. Freako, F-R-I-K-O, Freako, my new favorite band.
Such a good
They're
band.
From Chicago. Just so much abandon in their music. You know, it's kind of messy and chaotic. I don't know if you all have listened much beyond Neutral Milk Hotel to some of the Elephant Six collective stuff that came out in the 90s, you know, like Olivia Tremor Control or the Apples in Stereo. Like, Freako's music reminds me of them. It's got that sort of DIY, ramshackle feel. Mm-hmm. And then also harkens back, you know, to this sort of classic psych pop, broke pop that I love.
Well, and also to the kind of stomp and clap big bands of the late aughts and early
years,
but at the same time with this jolt of grit and energy.
That was also a very a very crucial part of my young life was the stomp and clap, the big bands, the collectives, the 28 people playing a guitar and a violin standing next to each other as Jay-Z looks on in the audience. Big part of my young life. And this song reminded me of that. Like, I was like, oh, this reminds me of a song that I would have put on my iPod mini back in 2009 on like the first warm day of the year in DC and just walked down, I don't know, all the way to the National Mall or something like that from Howard. It just was great.
I guess I should say the name of the song. It's called Get Numb to It. Get Numb to It from Freako, and their album is Where We've Been and Where We Go From Here. Brittany Luce, Stephen Thompson, thanks so much for hanging out and just sharing all this great music. I loved it.
Thank you.
Thank you. I had a blast.
And for NPR Music, I'm Robin Hilton. It's All Songs Considered.
This message comes from NPR sponsor, the Capital One Venture X Card. Earn unlimited 2X miles on everything you buy. Plus, get access to a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Details at CapitalOne.com. This message comes from Jackson. Let's face it, retirement planning can be confusing. At Jackson, we're working to make retirement clear for everyone, starting with you. Our easy-to-understand resources and user-friendly digital tools help simplify your entire experience. You can have confidence in your retirement with clarity from Jackson. Seek the clarity you deserve at Jackson.com. Jackson is short for Jackson Financial Incorporated, Jackson National Life Insurance Company, Lansing, Michigan, and Jackson National Life Insurance Company of New York, Purchase, New York.
Do you ever wish you could get your stories in 3 hours rather than 3 minutes? Or maybe you're sick of doom scrolling, getting your news in bits and pieces. That is where Embedded comes in. We bring you documentary series that will change the way you think about things. Find us wherever you get your podcasts.